B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I pointed out when Carson Wentz has not performed admirably in games, even the game where they dropped 12 passes for him, or excuse me, 8 passes for him against the Lions, I still called him out for underthrowing Miles Sanders twice on 2 plays that should have been touchdown receptions.
You're the man.
Lenny, you really? So Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
I'm asking you a question.
Can I give you an old saying? There's an old saying, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong or you're right or wrong, it's results. And the results are Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
That's not what we're saying here. Lenny, calm the hell down for a second, all right?
I'm
very calm here. You're the one attacking people. Here's the deal. You look at a guy like Nick Foles, when you come to Nick Foles, yeah, that's funny. You know humor? Do you know how to have fun? Or do you just want to like just spout things that we all already know, or you want to have a conversation?
I'm having a conversation.
Okay. All right. So you mean to tell me you would have taken Nick Foles over Carson Wentz?
I think
answer that question.
Yes.
Thank you. Jeez, that's all you had to say, man. That's dumb.
How's everyone doing?
Not only did they just decide to take Carson Wentz, they made him the highest paid quarterback in football.
Now, come on.
If you look at Carson Wentz right now, you mean to tell me he's the problem with the Eagles' offense?
No. Come on, man.
The thing that we have to focus on here.
I just went, I was doing a fantasy football waiver wire research this morning early. For instance, Mecole Hardman was out there in one of my leagues, the rookie wide receiver from Georgia that's with Andy Reid in Kansas City.
Right.
Just looking at his numbers, he has 453 receiving yards on the year. Alshon Jeffrey has 323. Think about that.
That's
a rookie that's never played in the league.
Right.
That has 120 more yards than our number one wide receiver.
Right. And look, I was thinking about this yesterday because I heard some people calling up with the Nick Foles thing a little bit later on the station. And I'm so done with that. And the Eagles have obviously moved on from it. It's still yet to be proven whether or not. And the only time will tell if that is the right decision. But as of right now, I believe the Eagles made the right decision. And they didn't just double down on that decision. They tripled down on that decision by giving $107.9 million, most guaranteed money in football at the time. It's insane the amount of money they invested in him. So it's not only just dead and buried and they've moved on from it. It's something that the Eagles are now going to have to live with for the foreseeable future. If it was the wrong decision, we will find that out over the course of time. But anybody that would have said at the time that Nick Foles is going to be the better quarterback for the foreseeable future for the Eagles, I think is crazy. I think it's absolutely nuts.
He had a great run there. He had a great Super Bowl game. But if you want to break it down, he played what? 3 really good games for the Eagles, and they wound up winning the. Yeah, he won the biggest game on the biggest stage, no question
and
about
performed
it.
Performed great.
If you want to give, if you can't see that Nick Foles is not as good a quarterback as Carson Wentz, I'm sorry, Lenny, you're just as short-sighted a person as I've ever seen.
I understand people want to hold on to that Super Bowl, but that's part of moving on from the Super Bowl is knowing you most likely weren't going to get back there again with Nick Foles. So I'm done with that conversation. I don't want to revisit that. We've done it enough. We have to acknowledge that we watch every snap here. It's not like we're watching from afar and we can just blame everything on the quarterback. I understand in most offenses throughout the NFL, he's the guy that you focus on. And I'll call him out when he's not performing as good as he should be.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is he's not your biggest problem and he's far from it. He's put the ball on the mark. He's manipulated the pocket. He's escaped the pocket. He's extended plays to try to get the ball to his receivers to make plays. And those guys have literally dropped the ball.
Exactly.
And you want to be the most angry at Carson Wentz?
I can't hang this on him. You know, just like you said, I mean, yes, okay. He could be a little quicker with getting rid of the ball. He could be a little bit better by anticipating the throw. But at the end of the day, I mean, this man is out there battling every game, every snap. He's trying to give you everything he has. And not saying that Nick Foles didn't. But I mean, when you have a receiving group core that's leading the league in drops, how can you hang this on Carson Wentz?
You obviously can't. And it's not. I mean, they gave us the numbers yesterday. Zach Berman was on with us at 8 o'clock. 31st in the league in yards per target?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that just be yards per attempt, by the way? Now that I'm thinking of it, I mean, because somebody's targeted on every play. Unless it doesn't count throwing the ball away. So there's that.
And let's be clear. because of the way how athletic Carson Wentz is, you put Nick Foles behind that offensive line right now, Carson Wentz has probably escaped maybe, what, 4 or 5 sacks, 7 sacks?
Easily.
Easily.
Yeah.
You think Foles is going to be able to?
No.
No. No, that's not happening.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I think most people are rather happy that the Eagles got flexed out of Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
I'm ecstatic.
Me too.
But I feel good about it. Here's the one thing that Lenny said that I agree with. Not good enough for prime time is a sticking point for me.
Yeah.
That is the stage.
It's a little dose of reality.
It really is. The fact that you do have this franchise quarterback.
And it's because when you're NBC and you're picking games before the season, you see Carson Wentz versus Russell Wilson, and you go, ooh, that's one I want.
And you also think, the Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
The hell of an offensive line there.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside versus DK Metcalf. Who's the better second-round pick? Those are all things you think about.
I think those are things you think about, for the record. But yeah, it's an attractive pick.
Carroll, Doug Peterson, two elite coaches.
There you go. Well, yeah. Super Bowl winning coaches. Yes,
they're elite coaches.
Doug's a little inconsistency in the play calling for me. If he was an elite coach, would you be talking so much about Frank Reich?
It's a fair point. I still believe he's a top.
Carroll isn't inconsistent. Beast mode.
Oh yeah, no, inconsistent. Yeah. Right,
he's lost in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I think what we need to do, just for Lenny's sake, is just get back to butterflies on asses. That's what we need to get back to. Because that, if Nick Foles was here, we'd have more butterflies on asses.
But do you consider how many elite coaches would you consider there to be? 7 to 8, kind of.
Because
I feel like 10's too much.
Yeah.
Elite? Six, seven might be.
Yeah, seven might be.
Five?
Seven might be. I'd say about five, yeah.
Five elite coaches?
Yeah.
Do you think Doug is an elite coach?
No.
No, I haven't.
Say that without hesitation.
Yeah,
no.
I don't think Doug is.
I see Trey is really torn over there.
I having to say that.
I don't think.
I played with him.
Right.
Right, no, I hear you. And maybe.
That just hurts.
But yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're going to have to do an absentee ballot.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I don't. I don't.
To say he's one of the top five coaches?
I mean, look what he did last year when the team was dead and destined on the side of the road. He got him to play.
Well, was it him or was it Nick Foles? That's the question we have to ask.
We're not doing this, Mark.
No, I mean, you brought it up.
I mean, I could certainly make the case that he is an elite coach.
Well, because he's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He
won a Super Bowl.
With a very deep team.
Other than that, he's a 500 coach.
Excuse me, a lot of backups, including the quarterback himself. He won with that team, and they were pretty stacked, even with their MVP candidate that year in Carson Wentz. Yeah, I understand. The top
and
five
Pete
is an interesting thing.
Very much in that consideration as well.
Multiple Super Bowls. Yeah, you would have to go that direction.
So who are you going to give you five then? Who?
I mean, Sean Payton belongs in there. Obviously, Belichick is in there. Mm-hmm. I think the job John
Tomlin?
I mean, the job John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin are doing this year is pretty remarkable.
But you can't go year. You can't say elite and what they're doing this year to me.
Well, Harbaugh's done it for, both of those guys have done it for 7, 8, 10 years.
Right.
I mean, Doug's right there. I mean, Reed, you got to put in there, but he's not having the postseason success, so I have to have Doug over him.
No.
I mean,
I agree. I think it's close.
If you're standing there,
does Andy Reid win a Super Bowl in 2017?
This is the coach of your team, or that's the coach of your team? You're taking Doug Peterson over Andy Reid?
Yes.
No damn way.
Does Andy Reid win the Super Bowl in 2017 with that team?
I don't know.
Does he call Philly? Does he go for it on fourth down?
Nick Foles called Philly.
Does he have time management? Doug Peterson's a better coach.
He's not. Oh, my God.
Andy Reid may be a better game planner Monday through Saturday.
Yes, but
I'll take Doug seven out of seven times on game day.
I understand what you're saying. He's the guy that won the ultimate prize. I understand that.
That's a huge...
Andy Reid has had 20 years to try to win that goal.
We didn't plan on this conversation. It just kind of organically popped up.
No,
but
it did. But it's. I think Doug is close to being that elite coach. I don't have him in the top five right now.
I would say he's maybe like 5-6. I think he's right on the cusp of it.
I get him out, right outside of the top five.
You have him like 5.5.
But I would have Pete Carroll in there.
6-0-6.
Trey, all right, let's ask Trey real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Come on.
All right, you're starting a team.
Give me your five.
That guy, Andy Reid, can be your head coach, or that guy, Doug Peterson, can be your head coach.
Red.
I mean, I don't even think it's a conversation.
It's very much a conversation.
No, for me, it's a conversation.
Did you remember the 13 years of Andy Reid and the time management? Yes, and the
awesome. all those problems have continued in Kansas City?
Yeah, you see the same things. It's very much a conversation.
That's my coach. Be careful.
That's Big Red.
He flew here from Kansas City to be here for Donovan.
He's a great dude. I love Big Red.
Nothing. Big Red, man.
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
He hasn't won the Super Bowl. It's been the same. You know, we were talking about the elite thing, the elite players that we've watched that don't do that one thing that is so great, right? Like, for instance, we talked about Ben Simmons not shooting the jumper. Joel Embiid not looking like he's in shape. Donovan McNabb not throwing the touch pass. You can say the same thing about Andy Reid. He has been a great coach throughout his entire career.
And Jamie's taking Trent Dilfer over Dan Marino.
Well, who wouldn't? Okay. I mean, the guy's he won a Super Bowl, Trent Dilfer. He's
apparently,
obviously better.
But
in all seriousness, first off, I think I know.
Yeah,
what
we're
you're
going
saying.
Down the wrong
way. But what I'm saying is, when you're looking at Andy Reid, the one thing he never did that got corrected was the time management. It was something that has haunted him still. And game day adjustment. Going into the game, the plan is the plan, and there seems to be lack of any change in that game plan. And then not being able to manage the clock when it matters. Well, I was in Kansas City when the Steelers were marching down the field and scored the game-winning touchdown against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs got the ball back and had one timeout, I think, still in their back pocket as the seconds were ticking off the clock. Like, how do you do that in the fourth quarter against at home, by the way? Against the Steelers.
I hear you.
And we all know what happened before Doug Peterson came to Philadelphia, and he was supposedly calling the plays in the second half, and they were at New England against the Patriots. Final 9 minutes of the game, they allow the Patriots to come back. They couldn't handle the clock in that fourth quarter. Again, it's been that one thing that has irked Andy Reid from here on out. Now, by the way, speaking of great coaches, and we got to give him credit, the guy's a phenomenal coach. Bill Belichick did his conference call, where he talked about some memories in Philadelphia. The opposing coach does a conference call with the assembled media. He talked about time in Philadelphia for Army-Navy games and all that stuff. Mm. And he also talked about whether or not he's going to watch some game film. One game in particular, Super Bowl 52, Eagles-Patriots. We'll hear from Bill Belichick coming up in a few. We'll also check in on our Twitter poll.
Getting called a homer on Twitter by T. Will.
Oh, what, for having Doug Peterson in your top five?
But ahead of Andy Reid,
oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm a homer. I thought results mattered. Could just be me. I like results.
There you go.
Seriously, though, I can make the argument then that you think Trent Dilfer is a better quarterback
than
Dan Marino.
That's ridiculous.
Well, wait a minute. If you like results, then why don't you want Nick Foles instead of Carson
Wentz? Put Dan Marino with the greatest defense possibly ever, and he'd probably have like five Super Bowls.
Probably. Given just a run game, he might have one at least.
I mean, yeah.
I understand.
Andy Reid.
All right.
He was frustrated.
That's what you call an organic, spontaneous conversation. 610-632-0975. All right. Coming up, we'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll talk a little bit more about that flex game. Eagles getting flexed out of primetime. Time of the Fanatic is 712.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Let's check in on our Twitter poll. Sam Wilson, what are the good people saying about the Sixers?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you encouraged by the Sixers' start to the season? We have just under 900 votes so far. It's switched now. 54% say no, they are not
54.
Encouraged.
See, now, regardless, it's right around 50-50 for a team that's 7-3. So why are we more optimistic about the Sixers right now? Why aren't we encouraged about how the Sixers have started their season? They're 7-3. Well, it's because of the lingering issues still having an effect on this season. Joel Embiid looking tired. Even though he's only played, six games now? And seven. And Ben Simmons, still no jump shot. We saw the jump shot in the offseason, so I'm working on the jump shot. No jump shot. Yeah. Last night you saw one. Still, apparently his feet were in the paint. I thought he was outside the paint.
You know, watching Embiid last night and so far this year, here's where my concern lies. offensively, the best part of his game is his shot. Outside shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's 7'2", 280. Mm. The best part of his game is his outside shot. Like it's getting to the free throw line where he could be between an 85-90% shooter. It's 10 to 12 footers, included a few three-pointers.
Mm.
His post-up game isn't as good as his outside shooting game. His dribble drive game isn't as good as his outside shooting. If you seriously break down his offensive game, what are you most comfortable with?
Yeah.
And that's, like, what's improved?
Mm.
People talk about his footwork, all this. You know, he made a nice hold up. Look, a 6'7 kid in high school who's playing another 6'7 kid could be taught to hold off a guy. I'm open here. Throw me the lob. I get it. I go up for
get
a layup.
Get the guy on his hip. Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
It's not a great play. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty fundamental basketball.
Sure.
Where's his best offensive game?
Yeah.
If it's the jumper, that's kind of worrisome. It's 7'2", 280.
Right. I thought of you yesterday, Bob, because there is a play. I want to say it was in the first quarter. It was at least in the first half. Where Joel Embiid called for the ball at the three-point line and then backed down, I think it was Kevin Love on him at the time, from the three-point line to the block, like backed him down from there. He didn't go to the block like a typical center would, right, in the old days, right, and call for the ball to do that move, that very prototypical, very monotonous, very textbook type of center play. He didn't do that. He called for the ball at the three-point line and worked his man down.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the layup, he made the points, and that's fine. But it's just a part of his game that you want to see a little bit more of from a shorter area to work, a smaller area to work.
How many times you see a big guy run down the floor offensively and put his hands up in the air but continue to run to get to his spot because he doesn't want to be perceived as shoving off or anything like that? You're 280 pounds. You're playing against Kevin Love, who's 4 inches shorter, probably 60 pounds lighter. Get your ass down to the block, catch the ball, and power move and score. Like, start with it that simple and then build from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been that simple with him.
610-632-0975. Now, the other thing that people were talking about last night, Trey, was the 14 turnovers, which was still about 4 turnovers less than we're used to seeing from the Sixers. We've mentioned it before.
Didn't feel like that, did it?
It did not at all.
No.
It felt like there was like 25.
Yes, it did. Especially for when you're watching Ben Simmons, and I'll point it out again, drive the length of the court and go to do a little dump-off pass to a guy like Tobias Harris, and he's not expecting it, and it ends up being a turnover, and I think 2 points the other way. So we have seen this problem, and it's 4 turnovers less than their average on the season. But Brett Brown described it as, basically a fire they're trying to put out when it comes to those turnovers. Take a listen.
It is a blowtorch. Yeah. It is violent. It's a really big one. You know, you're just watching the game unfold, and you can't make some of that up. And you know, I'm the coach, and so I got to figure it out. But some of those turnovers certainly were head scratching. I do give our guys credit for not crumbling. I think that we knew if we had to do anything, we better play defense. And defense we played. I like the way that we defended.
I like the way they defended, too, especially late. And Brett goes on to point out that they didn't score in the final 2:33 minutes of that game. The Cavs were held scoreless.
Yeah.
And now, Kevin Love missed a wide-open three where I believe it was Josh Richardson flying past him on a little pump fake from three-point land. So the Sixers hold on. They win the game, bottom line. I liked seeing that. But overall, the turnover is something that has to stop. And it seems like we've been saying this every year Brett Brown has been here. Now, true, they weren't very good players. For the people that are just solely Brett Brown apologists, yeah, there are an influx of different players every year, gypsies, as they were once referred to by Brett himself. And even now, there's about 5 different teams that he has coached in the last 2 years with this Sixers squad. But bottom line, Ben Simmons is not a rookie anymore. Tobias Harris certainly isn't a rookie anymore. Joel Embiid was actually all right in the turnover game last night. But these are guys that are veteran players now that shouldn't be making young mistakes anymore. And regardless of fluidity and how much and chemistry and knowing each other on the court, Tobias Harris knows that if he's on the court with Ben Simmons, that pass can be coming your way anytime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not something that needs to be coached. That's something that should be common sense for these players.
Sure.
Now, you could blame Brett for still going up tempo a lot. I know Al Horford wasn't playing in the game last night, but when you have 2 centers playing on your roster, you should know that, yeah, you can win in a half court set with 2 guys that can play the way Joel Embiid and Al Horford can play. Let's get to Kevin in Newcastle. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Mark, what's going on, man? Hey, look here, man.
My man.
The Sixers, right, whether they had LeBron or without him, Cleveland always gave them problems. Just like Atlanta gave them problems. Just like the West Coast, no matter what. When we had Julius Erving and all, when we would make that West Coast trip, we wouldn't do too well. Mm-hmm. You understand? So a win is a win. Now, I'm not going to get on this. You said that the Eagles tripled down on Carson Wentz. Well, Mark, I don't know in your lifetime if you made a bad business decision. And I'm not saying it's not proven yet.
Uh-huh.
But for them to make him the highest paid at the time and they based his contract on Russell Wilson, last I checked, Carson hasn't won a playoff game yet.
That's correct.
Wilson should have been a two-time Super Bowl champ with that idiotic Pete Carroll call.
Yeah, not giving it to Marshawn Lynch, yeah. I was at that game, yeah.
Now, I will say this, just like you guys are saying. You know, when McNabb played, other than T.O., I give him a little bit of Freddie Barnett and Calvin Williams. But he has Stinson and Trask, Terrence Smalls in him, Charles Johnson, and he made it to five different, with team, five different Eastern Conference Finals joint, man. So, now, would I take Andy Reid over Doug? Yes, I will. Would I take Carson Wentz over Nick Foles? Yes, I would.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, Foles is the only one with a statue, and Dougie P is the only coach in our history that won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
People like winners, man.
Absolutely. Now, Kevin, can you just say for me one more time, Eastern Conference, John?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, man. When I get hyped.
No, I got
I love it.
No, it was one of the most Philly sentences ever said on this program. Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Eastern Conference, John.
Kevin, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you, brother.
By the way, I went
championships. By the way,
I went rogue on a side poll, a personal page poll.
Look at you!
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to call. I love you. Total fraud. I think I know what it's going to be. Go ahead. Ask me.
Who would you take as an in-game coach?
Okay.
Dog or Big Red?
Okay.
215 votes right off the bat. 77% Doug.
Okay.
See how you worded it the way you want.
Admitted that Andy Reid is a great coach. Monday through Saturday. His shortcomings, and we know them very well because we saw them every weekend for 14 straight years, is an in-game coach.
Okay, how come besides that Super Bowl season, I hate to do that, that Doug Peterson, as an in-game coach, is 500? He's got a 500 record in three seasons.
And he's been in the playoffs the last 2 years and won a Super Bowl.
Mm. Okay.
Now hold on. And he's likely going to the playoffs again because
Andy Reid goes to the playoffs every year, James.
Yeah, that's great. And he screws it up every year.
Doug Peterson didn't once, and that's great. But show me a line of 13 years, 14 years, 15 years. When he goes to playoffs every year, you can compare the
that's
two.
That's great.
Now hold on. Here's why I waved the fraudulent flag here.
Okay.
Frank Reich. Drum beaten to death by a Jamie Lynch Jr.
Yes. And I think that's why they're not back to a Super Bowl level. They're still a playoff team.
But that's more...
He doesn't win without Frank Reich. You said Andy Reid doesn't win that 2017 Super Bowl.
With the Eagles. Not a chance.
All right. Really? Either does Doug Peterson without Frank close. Reich.
It's possible. We'll find out. But that doesn't mean Doug still isn't a very good coach.
I'll say this.
That I would take over Andy Reid.
Philly Special wouldn't even be in the playbook if Andy Reid was here. I'll say that much.
What do you think... No.
Big Red has some little wrinkles.
Oh, yeah? What was the wrinkle?
I'm not sure.
Which side are you on here, Farzana?
Oh, no, I still... Look, so Doug is the results guy. Now, Andy Reid showed that he could never make that change, but I go Doug Peterson over Andy Reid. The man finished the job.
So if Nick Foles runs over to Andy Reid and says, hey, let's run Philly here, you think Andy Reid goes...
John Gruden won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he sucks.
With somebody else's team.
He doesn't suck. He's okay.
No, he sucks. I'm going to tell you right now.
Seriously, you're basing Doug Peterson being a great coach on that result.
And last year, getting into the playoffs.
You have to do it with every other coach.
Mm.
Last year, making the playoffs was pretty impressive because they did not belong where they ended up.
In year two of coaching, he did something.
A year after winning a Super Bowl, they don't belong in a playoff?
I mean, you've seen the injuries that have plagued this team for the last 2 years.
Wait a second. Last year, they didn't belong in the playoffs.
Not as far as they got, no.
They won a game.
Andy Reid made it to the playoffs.
Carson Wentz had a broken back.
AJ Fielder.
But you won a Super Bowl with the guy that was in your playoffs last year.
You have fun with Andy Reid.
Good comeback.
Let's get. We got trench talk coming up here, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you right now that the 7 o'clock hour, though, is brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. Time for Univest employee benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. Without further ado, we had the bye week last week. We missed it so much. Please, by all means, welcome in a little trench talk.
So here we go.
Trey Thomas.
The New England Fighting
Patriots with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, pretty boy and company. So here we go. We're just going to start with the offense first, their offense against our defense. When you look at the numbers, New England Patriots right now, their total offense, they're 18th in the league, 366 yards they're averaging a game, 30 points a game they're scoring, which is second behind Baltimore, who is averaging 33.3 points a game.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right.
All right. So we're going to move on. All right. So then now we're going to move on down to the passing offense. But Tom Brady's doing seventh in the league right now, 273 yards, .9 a game. His longest pass has been 59 yards, 14 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's been sacked 16 times. That's kind of, you know, that shows you where that offensive line is right now. Their rushing offense right now is 23rd in the league. They're averaging 3.3 yards a carry, 92 yards a game. Their longest run has been 26 yards. They have 13 rushing touchdowns, 2 fumbles. Instead of going over all the offense and everything, I went over some individual stuff.
All right.
I mean, look at Brady, man. He's ninth in the league right now, averaging 64. His completion percentage is 64%. Right now, he's throwing. He has 2,536 yards. He's averaging 7.1 yards per throw, 221 yards a game, 14 touchdowns. He has 5 interceptions. He's been sacked 15 times. Then you got Sonny Michael, that's 18th in the league right now, 482 yards, 3.3 yards carry right now. And then Julian Edelman, when you look at what we're going to have to do against our defense working on this offense, of course we're going to have to get out there and shut down the run, because I mean, you know what Sonny can bring to the table, but we're going to have to make sure that we take care of Julian. Julian is the guy that you know that he is Tom Brady's favorite target right now. You know, Julian has 63 receptions. He has 90 targets. Fifth in the lead right now with the targets right now. So, you know, he's a guy that you really need. If we can take Edelman out of this game, I like our chances. Our secondary is going to have to get in there, get up in their face. You know that this offensive line is going, they've been struggling with protecting Brady, especially when you go back and you look at what Baltimore did against them, what Buffalo did against them. Also, when you go back and you look at what Washington came out there and had 9 quarterback hits, just getting after the quarterback. This is not the same type of offensive line that you're used to seeing Tom Brady work behind. And also, too, I think that what people are doing is getting up in there and challenging the receivers and making sure you're seeing Tom Brady elsewhere instead of allowing him to pick you apart with his favorite receiver.
I always feel like every time you play the Patriots, it's the same conversation every single time. If they can get pressure on Tom Brady... It's like,
but their offensive line sucks.
Yeah, their offensive line is struggling.
It's right. Bad.
But if you can get pressure on Tom Brady,
hey, you can say that about every quarterback.
Yeah, but no, but Tom Brady's the one guy.
I know,
yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. But if you can get pressure on Tom,
guess what? Newsflash: no quarterback likes getting hit.
Yeah, but you have to get pressure on Tom Brady without blitzing.
Jamie, please dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah, you're gonna need to have your front four get after it, because you're gonna need everybody in coverage, because you mess around. Tom Brady isn't like any other quarterback. He's going to be reading safety rotations, understanding where to blitz. You're not going to trick him. So you might want to make sure that your front four, our front line gladiators right there, our front four, they need to get after their offensive line and get after Tom Brady, because if you sit up there and you try to blitz him and all that, Tom Brady will pick you apart.
Besides getting to Brady, how do you neutralize an Edelman?
Who's
a big player in that, Trey? Whether it's position or exact.
Because none of our guys are follow someone, so who are you going to have?
I don't know.
You're going to have to just kind of get some safety help over him to try to kind of neutralize him a little bit. You're going to have to try to take him out of the game, because you know he's his favorite target. Now, you know what? He has 243 yards.
Oh, he's not catching bombs.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's catching and running, getting upfield. So, you know, this is a thing that you're going to have to make sure that you watch. Make sure that you say, all right, you know, you might have to dedicate 2 people to take care of him. But to make sure that you make Brady work elsewhere. But you need to make sure that our front four have to get after Brady. They have to get after him, because that's what you have. That's going to be the key to winning that game. But you can't do it with blitzing. You need your front four to get out there and just go eat.
So, because Tim Jernigan's back, could this be the perfect time to get him back, where you can rely more on that pressure from your front four as opposed to dialing up the blitzes that Jim Schwartz has done over the last couple of weeks?
I think what you're going to start seeing, especially if it's in pass downs, they're going to go more of that new NASCAR package, where you're going to have Avery, you're going to have BG, you're going to have Barnett out there, and then you mix Fletcher Cox in there. That's going to be your front four. And then they even had a couple times where you had Sweat Fletcher Cox on one side, and then you had Barnett, BG, and Avery on the other side. So now you have four, five guys getting after it, and then you send your, the rest in coverage.
All right, that who has the advantage, Trey?
We do.
Who? There we go.
There we do. We can get after this. We can get after this offensive line.
There we go.
This is not the same offensive line that you used to see. And it hurts me because I trained the left guard, Joe. I can't think of his last name.
Joey. Good old Joe.
62. Joe Terry or Tyrus, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I trained him down at IMG, getting him ready for the draft. But yeah.
All right. You know. Joe Thuney.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I trained him down at
IMG. Shaq Mason sucks.
Yeah, they're struggling. And then he was
this is probably Trey. I don't know if you would agree or not. Probably the worst offensive line Brady's ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely one of the worst that he's been behind.
So, Derek Barnett, Fletcher Cox, and Brandon Graham.
Come on down.
Let's get some on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Because it's the key to the game.
Tom Brady checking under his bed for Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett. 610-632-0900.
That's all I got to say.
That has been Trench Talk with Trey Thomas.
975.
No. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon Graham. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll talk to Adam Schefter coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also hear from Bill Belichick, who gave just, you know, as you would assume, the greatest conference call that you would expect from Bill Belichick, including what film he's going to watch on the Eagles getting ready for this game in South Philly Sunday afternoon. And also, we'll get into the conversation of flexing out of the Eagles game in 2 weeks against the Seahawks. Now a 1 o'clock kickoff. Seahawks, of course, traveling across the country off their bye week. Coming into Philadelphia, 1 o'clock start time of that game now. No longer the Sunday night game. We'll talk about that. And Trey, what that does for you. What do you think that might do to a player? Because I don't think the flex schedule was in existence when you were playing.
It really wasn't a thing for us.
Yeah, so we'll get into that a little bit as the show goes on today. 610-632-0975. Adam Schefter coming up top of the hour. Time of the Fanatic, 740.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up in about 11 minutes, we'll be joined by Adam Schefter. A lot going on still in the NFL. We'll get into that and more with Adam. Also, maybe talk a little NBA, Adam. What the Sixers have been doing so far, are now the majority, not vast by any means, but underwhelmed how the Sixers have started out their season at 7-3. It's because of the lingering issues, as we've been saying all morning. Turnovers, a tired Joel Embiid, the lack of an outside shot from Ben Simmons. So much stuff. It's like on rinse and repeat cycle right now when it comes to the Sixers. Let's get to AJ West Philly. What's up, AJ?
What up, morning show?
Yo, AJ.
Hey, Mark, before I end the call, I need you to do an impersonation or impression for me, okay?
Okay, you got it, man.
I need you to do that for me. Now, I want to talk about the Eagles, and one, with Doug Peterson, the reason why he has elite qualities and he's up there because he has a pair of stones. That manscaping commercial was made for people like Doug Peterson, okay? Listen, he got the rush of the NFL when fourth down come up on the video games. We used to go for it all the time.
Yeah.
You ain't see people do it. Doug Peterson got his team ready to go on fourth down all the time. Now the other coaches is copying off of Doug Peterson, and they going for it more on fourth down within these last 3 years. So that's an elite quality from Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get from Bill Belichick or Andy Reid or nobody. So that's where you can put my head coach up there, because he is elite. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
he's not elite.
Not elite fourth down, he's going for it. Now, when the team needs, I remember I called y'all, and our trench talk was always running the football.
Mm.
Everybody had to come around to getting on this run train.
Yeah.
There's a way that we can improve the team. One, I had a thought to somehow trade for A.J. Green from the Bengals. Now, if that can't happen, I hope y'all watched the Alabama-LSU game last weekend. Did you guys watch that football game?
I did not.
Yeah, I watched it all. That was awesome.
it was 10 wide receivers, or at least 8 wide receivers and 2 running backs on the team. That should, a couple of them should be Eagles next year. This should not be hard. I told you all 4 wide receivers from Alabama was bad. The last guy, Smith, caught an 85-yard touchdown at the end of the game. And a losing up. He can be on this team and get more yards than Alshon Jeffery, as y'all pointed out.
Oh, AJ, we're losing you. All right, no, we got you back now. No, I'm with you, man. Jamie watched that game. Bob watched that game. Trey watched that game. They all filled me in. Yeah, about any receiver on that field could start for the Eagles tomorrow.
Yes, we need a draft done. That should be a part of the plan. Now, Farzetto,
yo,
I need you to do a Gabe Kapler impersonation on his press conference introducing the San Francisco, talking about Philadelphia. Go ahead and kill it, dog.
I'm really excited to be out here. It's just a great environment. I'm really looking forward to going to Coit Tower. It presents beautifully. And then going into Chinatown, Japantown, as you call it, and then maybe even a little Italy action coming up here for me.
That's all I got. That's all I got. AJ, you're the man. You're the man. So you know he's going to Coit Tower. You know he's going there, right?
I'm a little worried about Gabe and maybe Sun and his coyunes out there. It's not the. It's a little overcast.
They got tanning beds. He's fine.
I think he's a natural man.
Every day is the. You know, here's the number one complaint I hear about San Francisco, aside from like cost of living.
I'm worried about his shine next year, Mark.
It's that the years go by too fast because you lose track of time because every day it's the same weather.
Yeah, it really is.
That's what I was told. Like I've only been out there, you know, whatever, a couple of weekends here and there, but yeah, it's like it's all the same.
Poor guy. He's going to have to go tan him in the bed.
They're going to love him. Like
it's the perfect fit.
Gabe Kapler comes here, and we're like, this freaking fraud, right? This guy trying to sell us a bill of goods. The immediate reaction in San Francisco would be like, what a guy.
Yeah.
What an emotionally intelligent, advanced coach.
And I will say, I do think he's a genuine person.
Yeah.
His personality here in Philly does not match. Like, we don't look at him as I think he's a genuine guy. But that type of person, we have doubts about. Because when people are overly, like, nice and positive here, we're like, all right, what are you selling me? What are you trying?
Sure.
What are you trying?
Radar goes up right
away.
Yeah,
exactly. But out there, it's like, oh, my God, this guy's great. Like, it's a much different atmosphere.
Yeah. Out there, it's aww.
Here,
it's like, what kind of BS you selling?
Like, I hate admitting this, but whenever I go out in the Midwest, I'm always uncomfortable.
Too nice.
Because they're too nice. I'm like, what do you want from me? Like, that's, I don't know.
What's your angle?
Exactly. Is that a typical East Coast person?
Probably.
I would think so.
Yeah, we have an East Coast bias, big time.
Bias, yeah.
Reality, whatever you want to call it.
We're programmed, I think.
Yeah.
We're programmed a lot different. We're programmed a lot different.
Sure.
Trey, real quick, I do want to get your thoughts on this before we talk to Adam Schefter. We got Graf waiting. We'll talk to him in a second.
Mm.
Sunday night game gets flexed. Earlier game, how much is it a benefit to the Eagles, where the Seahawks, I believe, coming off that bye, coming across the country to play now at 1, as opposed to, 8:15, 8:20.
Yeah, for them, is because they're playing at what time it would be, if you're going off their clock, what, 10 o'clock in the morning for them?
1 o'clock, yeah, it would be 10 o'clock for them. Yeah,
so, it's a little different for them, but I'm pretty sure they're going to fly here on a Friday, and so just to get themselves a couple of days, just to kind of get themselves together. But for us, I think players would much rather get up and go play instead of sitting around the entire day and, you got your feet up, you're sitting around, you're watching more film, and it just, that whole process can be draining at times. Mm-hmm. So you would much rather go ahead and get up and let's go get after it.
All right, well, we have to congratulate our next caller here, Graf in media, because he has become the necktie champion, necktie tying champion of the Delaware Valley.
I'm impressed with his game.
You're going nuts on Twitter with the neckties that you're tying, my friend.
Hey, man, they told me I should wear some ties, so I figure I take my knot tying skills to my neck, you know what I'm saying? That's so it. Now we're looking good. I got some big games planned ahead, you know?
Yeah,
the Trinity was next level, though.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know what's funny is they're really not all that hard to tie. Like, I could probably teach you guys in just a matter of minutes. Like, they're not nearly as difficult as I thought. But if you got fat fingers, though, then you're kind of screwed.
The reverse Windsor was my go-to, Griff.
Did I do a good job, Bob?
Great job. Great
job. Thank you very much. That means a lot.
How could you question me, though, on my tie knowledge yesterday? I was a little disappointed in that.
I did not assume that you were allowed to just wear whatever kind of tie knot you wanted to going to a Catholic school.
Oh, sure. It was all, all you.
That's what's up. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to learn that in Catholic school.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a nerd, but whatever. I want to make a point about last night. Like, I'm not the type of person that wants to ever compare my capabilities to that of a professional athlete. But, like, I'm pretty sure if you gave me 12 opportunities to shoot an NBA three-pointer, I would make at least one of them.
I believe in you, Grant.
In an NBA game?
Yeah.
I mean, some of those looks that Toby were getting were wide open.
Yes, they
open,
were.
Bob.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about dudes not even being in the same zip code, and he's still bricking shots. And I get it. He was sick. So, I mean, apparently Brett said that he probably wasn't even going to play, which I can't even imagine why he would let him. But at the same time, if you're losing Al Horford, you need somebody to play the four. Which last night, real quick, if I could, or Adam, last night kind of was a testament to Al Horford and his role on that defense. Because when you watch guard play, like the Jordan Clarksons, guys who penetrate the lane, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't have an Al Horford to kind of be clogging up the lane like a Joel Embiid, and you just have JoJo out there, it really goes to show that, you know, and anybody can kind of, you know, get into the lane and make a layup like Jordan Clarkson over there. And it's kind of concerning. So I really hope that's something we figure out.
Graf, look, I agree with you, and I had that thought during the game, and I tried to put it away, like put it in the back of my brain, because you still have Joel Embiid. You still have Tobias Harris. You still have Ben Simmons, who I thought had a gutty performance last night. I'll call
he
it
did.
That. Coming back with a shoulder injury, leading the way he did last night. Yeah, some of those turnovers were rough, but the fact that he tried to push through that injury when we ask every athlete to do that was phenomenal. But even without Al Horford, I want them to have a much bigger defensive presence on the floor than they did last night.
I think it becomes a little difficult, Mark, because when you have Al Horford and Joel Embiid in your starting lineup, it allows your guards to kind of lax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can really defend a three-pointer when you have somebody in the paint. So, like, when you can be able to get up on somebody, okay, if they drive by you a little bit, that's fine because they're going to drive the lane. They're going to be met by an Al Horford or Joel Embiid. But when Al's not there, well, now your whole defensive scheme needs to change. So it was a little disconcerting to watch. But at the same time, what's that, the 11th game of the year? Can't really be too upset with it.
10th game. Yeah.
10th
yeah.
game. Yeah. Oh, I can't count.
Good luck. No worries. Good luck. Good luck the rest of the way in the tie game, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Take it easy. It's Graf and Media. It's an interesting thing when you look at last night's game. Because they still missed Al Horford. And what I was more concerned about was those 25 games that we had talked about. And how when you talk to people around the league, you talk to whoever it might be, a team needs those 25 games to kind of figure each other out. Even last year when we talked to Aaron McKee.
Right.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.